Good morning. Good morning. This is my first time addressing you guys as the Reverend Amanda Weatherspoon. And I know what many of you are thinking. What a lovely and polite and well-behaved young woman. Well, it may come a shock to many of you, but I wasn't always this way. Really, I'm not even this way now, but that's beside the point. The point is, I used to be bad. I was a bad kid. And I know that no kid is really a bad kid, but perhaps maybe misunderstood. So let me rephrase it and say, I was a really, really misunderstood kid. Just for a hot minute. Now, my past, like all of our pasts, has many complexities. I was a lot of things growing up. When I was a kid, I was kind of geeky. I was an avid reader. I couldn't wait to have assigned homework. I literally freaked out on my mom run time because I forgot my homework at school and we had a janitor let us in. I was 10 years old. So excited. And the smell of new books and pencils and crayon boxes, it lit my soul on fire. I was an excitable kid. I couldn't wait for the next or the new thing, field trips, or the school assembly, or the sleepover next week. I got excited, and everybody around me knew it. I was a social kid. From elementary to this day, I've always had a group of girlfriends, a posse, a crew. And those people, although they have changed to this day, have always been the most important people in my life. I was an artistic kid. Always reveling in all of the types of art, media, music, theater. I was a total MTV kid. If you give me any 90s or early 2000s song, I can tell you, sometimes even down to the month, what year it was released and what was featured in the music video. I was a church kid. Growing up Southern Baptist meant church 3 times a week or more, with a volunteer service on the side, vacation Bible school over the summer, that's a whole other story, mission trips as a teenager, and summer camps at the beach. I was also a guilty and an ashamed kid, convinced I was going to die and burn in hell. And when I was 13, I was the troubled kid, the rebellious kid. The kid in detention every single day the second half of 8th grade because I had racked up so many. I was the kid in silent lunch and an in-school suspension. I was the kid who had to have a teacher escort through the halls between classes because I was always in so much trouble. Complexities. And I'm only just now beginning to understand the 8th grade for reasons only becoming apparent to me now. That year, I took a turn. What had been important to me no longer was. That curious, kind of geeky and excited kid became a surly, you can't tell me anything, rule-breaking, rebellious teenager who was suspicious of authority and had no problem letting you know. So after nearly an entire school year of constant troublemaking, an out-of-school suspension, too many detentions to even name, in-school suspensions, a million parent-teacher conferences, a behavior plan, and poor grades in all of my classes, I found myself sitting in an 8th grade-only awards assembly. This wasn't a typical assembly. This was in conjunction with an 8th grade reading project that we had for the entire grade. We had all been assigned the book, The Giver, by Lois Lowry. Now, as rebellious and as cool as I tried to seem, I still couldn't resist a good book. So in the story, everybody in that society is given a life assignment at the onset of adolescence. Each person begins training for their assignment from that point on. So our 8th grade assembly served as a life assignment giving ceremony. And there I was in this assembly thinking, there is absolutely no way they're going to assign me anything. Seriously, I remember thinking that they would just skip me. I had been in so much trouble, been so defiant. I hated my teachers, and I thought they hated me. So how could they possibly care to know what I'd be good at? And to be honest, my self-esteem was so low, I didn't think I was good at anything. So how could they? Slowly, each student was called up, given her certificate, and sat down. And then my time came. Amanda Weatherspoon, they said. Social sciences, psychology, and sociology. First of all, I was shocked that they came up with anything. Secondly, and most importantly, I was curious. They did it. Those teachers who I thought knew nothing about me, who I thought hated me, they tapped into an actual gift, and then they told me about it. I had given them pure hell for 9 months, and they did everything to reach me, and I resisted everything they did, but they didn't ever give up. About 12 years after that assembly, I ran into my 8th grade science teacher. I told her that it was that certificate that jump-started the second half of my education. I told her that even though I had to go to a private Christian school for my freshman year of high school, a whole other sermon, I used that time to get back on track. I had a purpose. I had a calling. I told her that I devoured every single piece of information about psychology and counseling that I could from any source that I could. I told her that once I got back to public school sophomore year, I worked with my guidance counselor to figure out an educational plan that would get me back on track. That I still graduated on time and pursued psychology in college. I told her that I had just graduated with my BA in psychology and that I had become a professional social worker. And I apologized, and I thanked her. I thanked her for believing in me when I couldn't believe in myself, for recognizing a gift that I didn't even know a name for giving a little title to something that I didn't even understand, something that I truly loved, connecting with people and helping me to turn a path that brought me to be standing here today. What we do for and with the young people in our world matters. How we nurture and care for and support kids and youth matters. How we affirm through our actions and our words, it matters. How we show up for them matters because it can be life or death. I got my call early in life because of those teachers. With the obstacles that a Black woman faces in this world, having a clear goal early on can be life-saving. Those teachers, as a part of a larger whole, they saved my life. And so it is with our life-saving faith of Unitarian Universalism. Religious education or faith formation, they serve as vehicles, not for proselytizing or for behavior control, but for building and nurturing, caring, loving, and connected people who can then care for and love their communities in the world. Our 7 principles, they are fabulous and well-meaning, but can often fall flat without a foundation to support them. In our family ministry program, more than just our 7 principles, children and youth develop and explore their personal values, not an adult agenda or a standard way of viewing the world, but their own values are developed by them. And this process is nurtured and supported by our dedicated volunteers, both inside RE classrooms and beyond, through family committee meetings, food drives, OWL trainings and classes, coming of age, and much more. And so we honor those who dedicate their time, treasure, and talent to the support and growth of the children, youth, and families in our community. What you do is so much more than what happens in the moment. What they do can and will last a lifetime. What they do prepares the next generation of leaders and movers and revolutionaries. What they do is revolutionary. I grew up going to Sunday school, and although I no longer profess the faith of my origin, my life has been shaped by the caring and devoted teachers who served as my Sunday school teachers. Those are the people that I would come to with difficult questions about our faith and how I move in the world. As I got a little older in my teen years, I honestly would ask those adults challenging questions about sexuality and relationships and many other difficult topics. And perhaps the worldview that they had was different than any of us might have. But they cared for me, and I knew it. And sometimes care is what gets you through the night. For those who teach in any capacity, any age group, in any setting, those retired, those just beginning, those struggling with the demands of our educational system, those who support teachers, those that get paid and those that give of their time freely, thank you. And you never know. One day, one of your students may tell the story of how you saved their lives. This is my last Sunday in this pulpit for a long time. And one thing I would like to say is how moved I am by all of our volunteers. You are the church. It is your energy, love, time, and attention that make this space what it is. When we gather here, as in all Unitarian Universalist churches across the land, we have no idea how many lives we are saving and impacting. Thank you. Thank you for this honoring of being with you for the last 9 months. Thank you for your kindness and for your gifts. Thank you for making this congregation so special and so meaningful. You each are a part of me. You are my blessing. Ashe, and blessed be.